the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
September is a new month, and that means here at Issues Etc., a new Issues Etc. book of the month. This one is new in a lot of ways. It's not brand new, hot off the presses, which it is, but it's also a new attempt at a Lutheran edition with notes of the Apocrypha. These are those writings. They're non-biblical writings, but they fit beautifully between the Old and New Testaments, both historically and in some ways theologically as well. They're not only of historical interest, they're also of, I think, the 16th century reformer would have said, Martin Luther would have said that they're of great devotional interest as well. The New Issues Etc. book of the month for September is called The Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. You can rediscover a great biblical and literary classic in the Apocrypha. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find it on every page of our website. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for September, the Apocrypha, the Lutheran edition with notes. For the next half hour, we're going to be talking with Pastor Farooq Khan about a Pakistani girl charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran. But first, let's get the latest on this story from the Associated Press.
The bail hearing for a Christian girl being held on blasphemy charges in Pakistan has been delayed again, this time due to a lawyer strike. Rimsha Masih was arrested and jailed on August 16th after a neighbor in this village said he saw her throwing out burnt pages of the Quran. Hospital records say the girl is 14, but has the mental capacities of someone younger. A prominent Islamic leader has offered to protect the girl after media reports surfaced that the government is keeping her in jail because her life could be in danger if she's released.
Rimsha is a daughter of this country. She is a daughter of Pakistan. If the court releases her and the government cannot provide security for her, the Pakistan Ulema Council is ready to do so.
Earlier this week, a Muslim cleric was arrested on allegations that he planted the destroyed Quran pages to frame the girl. Defaming the Quran carries the death penalty in Pakistan. Critics say the law is often misused to settle personal disputes. A new hearing date has been set for Friday, September 7th.
That's the latest from the Associated Press. Joining us to talk about this Pakistani girl charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran, Pastor Farooq Khan. He's a native of Pakistan and director of development for Pablo, People of the Book Lutheran Outreach, based in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Pastor Khan, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us about your experience as a native of Pakistan.
Well, Pakistan is a beautiful country. I grew up on a farm, and my ancestors, all forefathers, they converted from Islam to Christianity. But I grew up in Lahore, the main city where I was in having my education. And then as an engineer, I was hired by Brown & Root, a company out of Houston, which took me to Saudi Arabia. And I spent 18 years in Saudi Arabia working in petrochemical design office for Brown & Root. And since last 19 years, I am working with Pablo in Canada and now in the United States.
So what kind of a presence does Christianity have in Pakistan?
Well, the true censuses have never been conducted because they would always like to keep the low censuses of Christianity because they will have to give more seats in the parliament to the Christians. Therefore, they try to keep it at the minimum level. So right now, the actual population of Pakistan is 180 million. And what they show is that Christians are about 4%, which is wrong. Christians are close to 8% of the population.
What's the relationship, I guess, shall we say, both officially in terms of government policy and unofficially between Islam and Christianity?
We always enjoyed a very good relationship until the time of Bhutto, who was the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And he declared Pakistan to be an Islamic Republic of Pakistan. Although Bhutto himself didn't even know how to say a Muslim prayer. But just to please all the Muslim clerics and the Muslim street power, that was cheap popularity that he declared Pakistan from a Republic of Pakistan to Islamic Republic of Pakistan. So much so that he even declared he banned liquor, although he used to drink every night. He banned liquor from for public sale, and he also changed the holiday from Sunday weekend from Sunday to Friday, just to please Saudi Arabia and all of the other Muslim countries. And that changed the whole system in Pakistan. But then he started forming an Islamic market, an Islamic forum together under the Islamic Conference, Islamic Summit Conference, which is now meeting every year. But the main damage was done by the military dictator who overthrew him and hanged him, and he was Ziaul Haq. He was a general from Pakistan military who was promoted by Bhutto from a lower position to the CNC level, and he overthrew Bhutto and finally hanged him. He is the one who brought jihadism, Kalashnikov, Afghan refugees, training them to fight, and also he brought the Mullahism in Pakistan, which is the extremist Islamic ideology. And he is the one who actually he amended the constitution, and he brought in the blasphemy law. Actually, the blasphemy law had always been there. Pakistan adopted the constitution of British constitution of 1932, and India and Pakistan got independence in 1947, and both the countries adopted British constitution with some amendments. So the British constitution always had the blasphemy law, but it was never implemented. And then India has, for 67 years, they have the blasphemy law. They have never used against any religious minority. But then Ziaul Haq, who was not only, I would say not clever, he was vicious and he was a crook. And he brought in a blasphemy law with anyone who desecrates the Quran willfully or whatever way will have a life imprisonment. And anyone who blasphemes against Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, must be put to death. So this is what he brought. Then Muslims, ever since that time, we're talking about 1979-80, ever since that time have used this law to undermine Christians, like Trump of Georgia, like one of my cousins. The first ever attack on this Quranic thing happened in Shantinagar, Pakistan. Shanti is Shanti. If you go on the internet and you type Shantinagar, Shantinagar, Pakistan, and you'll find the whole story. There was Trump up charges about Quran being desecrated, and one of my cousins, his name was also in that case. He couldn't leave the town. He couldn't leave the place. And finally, his interviews were in all the press, and finally he died of heart attack very young because of no medical facilities in that small town. It was attacked by 60,000 armed Muslim fundamentalists. who came with AK-47 rifles, phosphorus grenades, and gasoline, and they burned the houses, they burned the churches, they burned the Bibles and hymnals, they torched the houses, they kidnapped the women, and that was the beginning of this whole scene. Then it happened in a place near Faisalabad in Pakistan, in Gojra, where 8 people were burned alive just on the same trumped-up charges of the Quran. And then it happened in several places. Then the governor of the largest province of Pakistan, Suleiman Taseer, was gunned down by his own bodyguard just because he was an advocate who was trying to get these laws amended so that they cannot be misused. And there is another girl, that was a very famous story all around the world, and she is in jail because of the trumped-up false allegations on her, and she is lying in jail right now, and Suleiman Taseer was working for her, for getting her freed. And not only, and then the person who, his own bodyguard who murdered him, is taken over by the same fundamentalist, extremist, religious maniacs. They have made him a hero, although he's in a jail. When he comes for his court hearing, they throw flower rose petals on his way, and they put garlands around his neck because he murdered the governor who wanted to amend the blasphemy law. And then, not only that, the only Christian minister in the cabinet was also Mr. Bhatti, was also assassinated right outside his house when he was going to attend the cabinet meeting of the government. He was a federal minister, and he was gunned down because he was also fighting for the amendment of the law. Ever since that, almost every day, there is some Christian held up under the blasphemy law. You don't need any proof. You don't need any witnesses. One person can say with a word of mouth he has desecrated the Quran, or he right in front of me, he blasphemed Muhammad's name. And that's it. He's down to death. In many cases, people don't even reach the courts and they are killed. Like in one particular case, in Bahawalpur, Pakistan.
Let's take a break there, Pastor Khan. We'll have you pick up the story on the other side of this break. We're talking with Pastor Farooq Khan, a native of Pakistan, and Director of Development for Pablo, People of the Book Lutheran Outreach, based in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, about a Pakistani girl charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Pastor Farooq Khan is our guest. He's a native of Pakistan and director of development for Pablo People of the book Lutheran Outreach, based in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. Talking about a Pakistani girl charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran. You were telling us a series of stories there before the break, Pastor Khan, and one of them involving people that are killed even before they make it to the courts under blasphemy charges.
Absolutely. This man was mentally disabled in a city called Bahawalpur, about 200 miles west of Lahore, and he was charged on trumped-up charges of desecrating the Quran. He was taken to the police station. Then the fundamentalist Muslims, they attacked the police station, got him out of the jail, and then they put gasoline on him and set him on fire and burned him alive. Then there are hundreds of such cases that are not even coming to limelight. The recent story of Rimsha came up, which brought it up, and the latest on that is, if anybody wants to hear the latest news and see the truth, there is a website called Express Tribune in Pakistan, and they are reporting very nicely about the Christian issues. But the main thing is this, that this girl has a Down syndrome. She's a Roman Catholic. According to the Roman Catholic Church statement, she's 11 years old according to her baptism. Parents are illiterate. She's illiterate. She doesn't even know the difference between Urdu language, which is the national Pakistani language, or Arabic, or any other language. She cannot read, write anything. This girl was, her father was a janitor, and she was working with him, and they collected some garbage with papers. And the person whose house they were living in, which is a rented house in Islamabad, Pakistan, which is the capital, this is the very slum area of Islamabad, lower caste area, his own son-in-law, who trumped up these charges against this girl, and he the landlord's son-in-law, that this girl desecrated the Quran. He had no proof. He takes the bag, grabs the bag from this girl, he takes to the mosque, and the mosque clergy, the junior clergy of the mosque, he tore some pages of the Quran, put it in the bag, and then he started announcing on the loudspeaker that the Christians have desecrated the Quran and this girl, Rimsha. And there are hundreds of Muslim fundamentalists, they gather around that area. There were about 600 Christian families. They wanted to burn them alive and burn their houses. They ran for their lives. And Rimsha, 11-year-old girl, which they say is 14, but she's 11 according to her baptismal record, was beaten very badly. Her mother was beaten. And then police took them into their custody and registered a case of blasphemy against this minor girl who has a Down syndrome and who is illiterate. So finally, the whole world came up, like it was on CNN, it was on Fox News, and every news media, BBC picked up, and then British government protested, French government protested, the Pope protested, and then America protested against that. And finally, they found out after the investigation what happened, that they were all trumped up charges. Now this junior clergy is arrested. But this girl, her bail hearing was postponed twice. Neither they are dropping the charges against the girl when the actual culprit has been caught. The senior clergy of the mosque and one another junior clergy, they both gave the statement in the court, under oath, that in front of them, this man had planted these things in her bag. And these are trumped up charges. Still, the case is not dismissed. Now, these fundamentalist Muslims, they are giving statements and doing press conferences all over Pakistan that free this girl only because they are fearful that there could be a backlash of this to amend the blasphemy law. They are not trying to protect a Christian girl who is jailed for wrong charges. They are trying to protect the blasphemy law because this has been misused and has been proved. The person has been arrested. But they are trying to protect the blasphemy law. They're not trying to support a Christian.
So, in your opinion, what is the goal of those who trump up charges or make charges, especially against Christians here, of blaspheming Islam by desecrating the Quran or blaspheming the Prophet Muhammad?
Right from the time of Zia-ul-Haq, the military dictator who came and Islamization started in Pakistan,
there is a genocide of Christians going on. There is a religious cleansing going on in this country. My best friends as a student were Muslims. I still meet them. There are some very educated, good, civilized Muslims living in Pakistan, and there's a huge number of them. But they don't have any street power. They don't even have the strength or the courage to come in the press or media to give a statement to against it. But the street power is all in the hands of these religious thugs who are trying to cleanse Pakistan from all non-Muslims. Like, there is a huge exodus of Hindus from one of the Pakistan's province called Sindh, S-I-N-D, to India. They say about 901 of them crossed over the borders to India because they kidnapped their girls and they are kidnapping Hindu businessmen. And slowly there is an exodus of Hindus started going or migrating towards India. And Christians, you know, whoever could afford, whoever has some higher education, they make their way to the West and to the free world. But it's a pity that poor Christians, they cannot make out to any other country, not even Philippines. And the thing is this, they are actually forcibly either converting Christians or putting blasphemy charges or killing them or forcibly telling them to sell your properties to us in pennies, otherwise we'll place blasphemy law charges on you.
So how would you describe the relationship between the mosque and, as you say, the kind of the street power, the radical thugs in the street?
The mosque, this particular mosque that you're talking about?
Yeah, about a minute for an answer.
Yeah, this particular mosque, the actual clergies, the two who came out and gave statements now that the girl is innocent, saw this thing happening and did not speak early. And these religious thugs in the streets have so much of power that even the police had to take in protective custody of those two, the senior cleric and the junior one, who gave a statement against this person who planted this. They are also taken into safe custody because their life is at stake too. The government has no power. The just judiciary system is absolutely silent. The Chief Justice saw the minister, the governor being murdered. And the foremost thing is this, that the prosecuting lawyer against this girl, he's also a religious maniac. He was doing a press conference sitting under the poster of the person who assassinated the governor. And he was saying, if the judiciary releases this girl on bail or dismisses the case, one of this person, there are thousands like him in Pakistan, will come and do the job and kill this girl. This press conference is on record. His statement is on record. Neither the government nor the judiciary nor the court system have challenged this lawyer that you are committing hatred, and this is a hatred crime.
Pastor Khan, with only about 20 seconds here, what lesson can we learn from this Pakistani girl that's been charged with blasphemy for allegedly burning a copy of the Quran?
I would say that we may pray for the Christians who are living under persecution, not only in Pakistan, but in Saudi Arabia and Sudan and Somalia and Iran and all parts of the world. The lesson we learn is that as Christians living in the free world, we should stand for our brothers and Christians who are being killed just because of their faith in Jesus Christ.
Pastor Farooq Khan is a native of Pakistan. He's director of development for Pablo, People of the Book Lutheran Outreach, based in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. You'll find a link to Pablo at our website, issuesetc.org. Pastor Khan, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for the invitation.
When we come back in hour two of Issues, Etc., we're going to spend the first few minutes of that hour talking about a recent column titled, I Wish My Mother Had Aborted Me. Yes, that is the title, and yes, that is the general thrust of that article. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. Then a little bit later in hour two on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 4th, Pastor Tom Baker, he is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, will be joining us. We're going to talk with him about the 12 spies that are sent into Canaan. You know the story from Sunday school in Numbers chapters 13 and 14. They are about to enter. They are scoping out the situation as the children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt and out of slavery. They have gone to Sinai. They've received the promises and the covenant. They have gone to the very verge of the promised land. They send in spies, but 10 come back saying, no, we can't do it. 2, Joshua and Caleb say, yes, we can. The Lord is with us. We'll talk about that Sunday school lesson in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 a little later in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The new Issues Etc. YouTube video features some of your favorite guests. Pastor Will Wheaton.
Because the one, the individual one, is so important. He would have done everything that he did if it had only been you.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller.
People are bored with God's Word, so we've got to bring something else. So you have now a church service that has nothing to do with the Lord's Word or with Jesus.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Do not fear that you face death. Do not fear that your sins are great.
And Pastor Bill Swirla.
The more you see your sin, the greater a Savior Jesus appears.
View and share the new Issues Etc. YouTube video. You'll find it at issuesetc.org and click support. Introduce Issues Etc. to your friends, family, and coworkers today with our new YouTube video.